It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome to the Bible study segment of our program today. We're here with Connie Stample. Connie, welcome back.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Glad you are here. Today we're doing the book of Habakkuk, and if you're in chapter 2, today's message is titled Woe to the Chaldeans, and you'll find all the notes today on our Bible study segment tab, and we highly encourage you go and download those. Connie, what will we be learning about today?
Well, we are going to start to learn what God's specific judgment against the Chaldeans entailed. And it's going to be just a fitting justice, we'll see. And we're going to find out what that word woe means. It doesn't sound good, and it's not good. We're going to find out what that is. We're going to take about half of the woes. There's five woes that God details in this chapter, and we're going to take the first three. And then tomorrow we will go through the rest of them and talk a little bit about God's glory, because that, again, what we're doing is we're contrasting actually the self-glory of the Babylonians and then God's glory, the true glory. So we're in Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'm going to, in a minute, read verses 6 to 13 just to give us a setting on that. But quick history lesson again, recap. We know that Jerusalem was conquered in 586 BC. And the Babylonians were the dominant world power at that time, and they reigned for over 100 years. But then we're going to find that in 539 BC, they had a sudden collapse, catastrophic collapse. And they were conquered by the Medes and the Persians. And actually, the leader of that group was Cyrus, who Isaiah talked about more than, you know, almost 200 years before he came to power. Isaiah said he would be the one. And so God's word tells us so much. But the other thing is, those of you who have a chance to look, read Daniel 5, because that's the last moments of the Babylonian heyday, I guess. And it's Belshazzar is having a huge drunken feast, really, while actually the Cyrus is coming into Babylon. And really, Babylon was an incredibly fortified city. It had 30 bronze gates. It had a wall around it that was so wide that a chariot with four horses abreast could race around it. And so they really thought that they were invincible. What they didn't know is that Cyrus had some engineers who were able to dam up the river before the city. And so they just actually crept under the gates when the river stopped. So it just shows we can't be too proud. Just want to also tell you that that word woe, I mentioned, not a good word. If God says woe to you, that's not good. It really means an interjection of distress pronounced in the face of disaster or coming judgment because of sin. And there was a reference to Isaiah 5, verses 8 to 23, and that's actually God's woes detailed against Judah, again, because of their sin. And God was faithful to bring about those woes, and they went into exile because of their sin. But also we're going to find out that the Babylonians, again, received God's fitting justice for their sin. Another idea that we're going to see is biblical, and that's the principle of we reap what we sow. And that's shown in Proverbs, and I'm going to read Proverbs 22, verse 8, which says, "Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of his fury will fail." We're going to see today that that is definitely the just reward of the Babylonians. But also that's repeated in the New Testament, because we find in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, Paul writes to them, he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap." And so now we're going to get into those woes of the Babylonians. And I think we're all going to see that they really got what they gave out. And in a measure that was fitting for their brutality and just their greed and everything they did. So we are in Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 6. God's word says, "Shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say," all these are the nations conquered by Babylon. And so God says to them, "Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own, for how long, and loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise, and those awake who will make you tremble? Then you will be spoil for them. Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. For the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities and to all who dwell in them." And so we find God is saying, woe to you because of your aggression and your plunder and your just wanton disregard of other people, but in that pursuit of stuff for yourself, you just ran over other people. in verse 8 when it says for the blood of man. That Hebrew term really is literally the bloods of man, and it means murder. And so it's for the murder of people, the blood of people, and violence you've done on the earth, woe will come to you. Then we go to verses 9 through 12, and we find, woe to him who gives evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, and to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life, for the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the woodwork respond. And here, really, what Habakkuk, and through God's vision, is saying, woe against them for their covetousness and their self-exaltation, and how they were exploiting and building themselves up, actually their pride, at the expense of other peoples. And the houses they built were built on slave labor and on the plunder and the goods they carried off from other places. And so it's a house of blood, because other people have suffered greatly for them to have what they do. Remember also that the city of Babylon was like one of those wonders of the world, and it was built high, and they thought they were invincible and no one could ever attack them and bring them down. Well, it did happen. And so that, again, will be how they will be treated, because of how they trampled others to build themselves up. Then the third woe for today is, woe to him who builds a tower with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Remember, it's who builds a town with blood or blood. So it's, again, their buildings, their cities, everything they do is based on the murder of other people, and founds a city on iniquity. And this is, behold, is it not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing? That Lord of hosts refers to the Lord of the armies of heaven. And so God is the one who ultimately is in control and will take care of all things. And the idea here is that peoples labor merely for fire. It's kind of a poetic way of saying everything you've done, everything you labored for, is going to go up in smoke. It's going to be gone in an instant. And when fire burns something, what are you left with but just an ash heap and nothing else? And so the Babylonians thought they were so powerful. They thought they were so mighty. They thought they'd rule forever. But everything they built is going to be gone. And that's because God will have justice on their evil and their pursuit of everything that they've done. Remember, they were very violent in everything they did. They were a proud people. They didn't care. I mean, they were just inhuman, really. And so what's going to happen to them is what they've given to others. We find that in Isaiah chapter 47, God gives us exactly what it's going to look like for them. And I'm going to read just two of those verses, but it's going to help us understand that everything they brought on other people's is going to come back on their own heads. Isaiah 47, verses 10 and 11 says, you felt secure in your wickedness, and you said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray, and you said in your heart, I am, and there's no one besides me. But evil shall come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. Disaster shall fall upon you, for which you shall not be able to atone. And ruin shall come upon you suddenly, of which you know nothing. And so Habakkuk is telling us that the Babylonians are going to come down, and they're going to come down really hard when they come. And we see from history that that's what happened.
Connie, thank you so much. And again, I highly urge you to read Daniel chapter 5. I'm so excited by that chapter alone. It's just one of the most exciting stories in the Bible, especially where Cyrus, it was predicted 150 years before he even was around that this would happen. What an incredible, accurate prophecy this was.
It is, and it just speaks to only God, the God of the Bible, can tell us what it's going to happen in the future, and it does happen.
It does, and I see Jesus all over this. I'm sure this is where the Lord of hosts of heaven directly referencing Jesus.
Exactly, and so he will judge the earth. When he comes again, it's for salvation of those who trust in and believe in him, but it also, he brings judgment on those who reject him, the proud.
Thank you so much, Connie. Well, all the notes for this particular lesson and all of the lessons that Connie has here in the book of Habakkuk are on naomistable.com. Ladies, do download those. Do share those with other women in your life that you are counseling or shepherding in discipling. And we just highly recommend that you do that. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.